Well, you're all very welcome this evening. We'll commence with it's good to see all the young folk that have come in. We'll sing, there's a children's hymn we'll maybe sing together, 306. 306. One of Albert Midlane's great hymns, there's a friend for little children. Above the bright blue sky, a friend who never changes, whose love can never die. Unlike our friends by nature, who change with changing years, this friend is always worthy the precious name he bears. Verse 2 says, there's a home for little children above the bright blue sky where Jesus dwells in glory, a home of peace and joy. No home on earth is like it, nor can with it compare, for everyone is happy, nor could be happier there. Just remaining seated, 306.
There's a friend for little children above the brightest sky. A friend of the never changes, whose love can never die. Or like a friend by nature, in change and changing hands.
Before God in prayer. Our God and Father, we draw near to Thee in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 'Tis to seek Thy face for help and for blessing upon the telling out of the gospel message. We rejoice in the gospel. It is indeed a message of glad tidings of good things. We remember the wise man of old in Scripture could say, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We thank thee for heaven's message for a perishing world. We rejoice again in thy great heart of love that thou didst give thy Son. Thy word tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. What a wondrous moment it was in earth's troubled history when the angel announced to the shepherds on the Judean hills, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And so we do thank thee for the one who left thy side and came into this world to go to the cross at Calvary, to deal with the awful problem of our sin, and to provide salvation and a home in heaven at the end of life's journey for all who trust him. We thank thee, we can truly say, with one of old, what a friend we have in Jesus. There are many in the hall tonight, and they can speak of the one who is my beloved and my friend. We pray for any who as yet do not know the Lord Jesus. We pray that they might understand through thy word their need of him, and in their need come and put their trust in him and enter into this great blessing that thou dost desire to give them, the salvation of their soul. So we ask for thy presence with us as we open thy word and consider again these eternal matters. The moments of a meeting pass quickly, but in some measure at least we feel the weight of issues that are for eternity. And the destiny of souls is at stake. And so we look to thee that the Spirit of God would guide us aright for thy glory, and help might be granted to simply set before the gathered company the way of life and salvation. We look to thee with our need and link with it many like gatherings across the land, and ask for blessing and salvation as we make our requests another time in the precious and honoured name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think some of the brethren have some announcements just to make.
We make you all very welcome again. Thank you for coming, especially the young folks. Always glad to see you, and everyone else as well. We also remember those who are online. Thank you for taking the time to log in. And though we don't see you, we're thinking of you, and we're glad that you can listen in. Just for this week then, we have the Bible Explorers for the young people on Monday at 7 p.m. And our brother Brian Wilkinson will be taking that meeting. And then on Thursday we have our prayer meeting and our Bible reading. The passage is 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 10 to verse 16. There's several times I've gone away and I've forgotten what was the passage that was supposed to be done this week. So verses 10 to 16, and for those who will be with us on Thursday at 7:45 p.m. Then next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11 a.m, Sunday school and Bible class at 3, prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel again at 7. And next week, the speaker will be Ivan McLean from Ballywalter Moy, God willing. Now, tonight we have our brother David Radcliffe. He's come from the Windsor Assembly, and we're very glad to have him with us. So we pray that God would bless him as he brings the gospel to us, and that you'll be able to go away and know what Christ has done for you, and even tonight put your trust in him and be saved. May the Lord bless.
I want to take a reading tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14, at the beginning of the chapter. The opening verses, the Lord Jesus is the speaker in John 14 and verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we look to the Lord to bless again this reading to our hearts. These verses speak about the believer's heart, and the believer's home, and the believer's hope. Wonderful, isn't it, that the heart that we're told about in our Bible in Jeremiah 17 and 9, that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, can know the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, and it can know the indwelling Christ in the heart. What an amazing thing that is. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts. What a transformation the salvation of God does for the individual. We've read about the believer's home. The Lord Jesus speaks about it as my Father's house. Wonderful that there are people here in the meeting tonight and maybe listening online, and they can say with absolute assurance, I have a home above, from sin and sorrow free, a mansion which eternal love designed and formed for me. And we've read also about the believer's hope. This hope from the words of the Savior himself when he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Paul was writing about the coming again of the Lord Jesus in 1 Thessalonians 4, he spoke about others which have no hope. I think that's one of the saddest statements in our Bible, to have no hope for the next world. We give out that hymn this evening, that hymn of Albert Midlane's, of a friend for little children and of a home for little children above the bright blue sky. Thinking about heaven, I remember my late father tell about when he was the age of some of these boys and girls here this evening. First time that he ever remembered hearing anything of Bible truth was when two aunts took him along to a children's prize giving in a crowded orange hall outside the town of Castlewellan. My father had been brought up in that countryside, a difficult enough upbringing. He never remembered his father. His father died when he was just two, when my father was just 2 years old in 1918, one of the victims of what I've heard about in recent times of the Spanish flu. And my father had no brothers or sisters, and he didn't have much of a home life. But he said that night, when he went into that hall, saw all the crowd of people that were present, and all the boys and girls, what left a lasting impression upon him that he never forgot was this hymn that they sang that night, of a friend for little children above the bright blue sky, and of a home for little children above the bright blue sky. And he said he often thought about it for years afterwards. There's a friend up there. I wonder, will I ever get to know him as my friend? There's a home up there. I wonder, will it ever be my home? Didn't have much of a home down here. And oh, I'm glad to tell you that he did get to know the friend. And tonight he's in that home. And so it is important just to consider heaven. Do you ever think about heaven? Anyone listening tonight, do you ever think much about heaven? How to get there? I came across a book a couple of months back. It was the title of it that caught my attention, and I lifted it. Everyday Sayings on the Bible. A man the name of Alan McIlwain wrote it. I didn't know the man. Never met him. I was shocked and saddened to learn, actually, as when I was reading the book, that the man had just died and his funeral was just recently. But that he was pointing out as something I've often looked at. People who sadly don't read their Bible. The Bible's a closed book to many, but they'll use expressions from the Bible. Maybe they don't even realize they're doing it. You'll hear them talk sometimes about going the second mile. They don't realize they're quoting from the teachings of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5:41. If anyone compel you to go with them a mile, go with them twain, go with them the second mile. Things like that that they would use. You'll hear talk about being a good Samaritan. Again, of course, it's drawn from the teachings of the Savior in Luke 10 of the Samaritan who, when others ignored the man in his need, the certain Samaritan came to help him, and so on. There's lots more expressions like that, some very obscure expressions. You'll hear somebody saying they got through with the skin of their teeth. Well, that's an expression from the book of Job, Job 19 and verse 20. And Job says, I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. But why I mention it, a lot of people, you'll hear them talk about a doubting Thomas. And of course, they're speaking about this man that we've read about that asked this big question. I think sometimes, you know, they're a wee bit hard on Thomas. Yes, he had his doubts. But when you read all about Thomas in our Bible, you'll find that Thomas was a deep thinker. Thomas was a man that wanted to be sure about things. Thomas was a man that wanted something that was genuine. Yes, he might have had a gloomy disposition. You know that they say about an optimist will say his glass is half full and a pessimist will say his glass is half empty. And they're talking about the same thing. Well, Thomas might have been more the pessimistic type of man, but You know, I'm thankful for Thomas. When I get to heaven, I would like to thank him. Thank him that he ever asked this question here in John 14. Wonder would there be anyone asking it in the meeting tonight. As the Lord Jesus spoke about heaven, Thomas asked a big question. He says, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? How can we be sure about the way to heaven? Because you see, it brought from the Lord Jesus the clearest of answers just about the way to heaven. What did the Savior say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a wonderful subject just to consider heaven. We could speak about heaven's architecture. There's a vast world somewhere, amazing to think of it, away beyond the blue that we look up into. A vast world that holds the headquarters of the universe, the homestead of eternity, the metropolis of deity. It's the dwelling place of God. Spoken about in our Bible as a country. Hebrews 11:16, indeed a better country. When you think about a country, you think about its vastness, its expanse. Heaven's an expansive place. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 33:17 said, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off, the land of the far horizons, the land of the limitless landscape. Yes, heaven's a country. Heaven's also spoken about as a city. City, says Hebrews 11:10, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When you think about a city, you think about its population. That's one of the things that impressed me a few years ago when I moved from the country into the city here in Belfast, was the population, the vast flow of people coming and going. Heaven's a place of vast numbers. Revelation 7 tells us no human could put a number upon it. The city, the dwelling place of God. You could speak about heaven as a kingdom. That's how it's described in our Bible. Indeed, the Savior said, except a man be born again in John 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You think about a kingdom and you think about its order, about its truth. Heaven will be a place of perfect order, perfect rule. And here the Lord Jesus speaks about it as my Father's house, home, heaven and home. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, I was reading just the other day, Billy Sunday, the American revivalist preacher. He said, you know, the English, they have Windsor Castle. And the French, they've got their Palace of Versailles. And the Spanish have Alhambra. And the Americans have the White House. He says, they're just like dungeons compared to the splendor of heaven. Heaven and its architecture. We could speak about heaven and its atmosphere. What a wonderful place. The eternal presence of all that will bring happiness to the soul that's saved. The eternal absence of all that will cause sorrow and pain. You can read about it in Revelation 21 and so on. David, as he thought about it in Psalm 16:11, he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, that thy right hand pleasures forevermore. But what I want to speak to you just for a minute or two tonight, not just so much about heaven's architecture and heaven's atmosphere, but I want to tell you about heaven's availability. You see, heaven's available for you and I. Isn't that an amazing thing? That God has made it possible for boys and girls and older friends listening to have a home in heaven at the end of the journey. That is something tremendous just to appreciate. What did the Savior say was the way to it? I am, don't forget that. I am the way. Some would tell us, you know, well, you have your way and I have mine and so on. I often think about the story about the little girl had been in Sunday school, and this was the verse that she had been taught that day, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then she went along to her day school, and the teacher was taking her for RE, for religious instruction or education. And the teacher said to them, she said, I'm going to talk to you today about heaven. And she says, I want to describe it just like a bicycle wheel. You think about the big round tire. That's really, just to think of that as the earth that you and I live on. And then you see the hub there in the center. Just try to picture that as a way out somewhere. There's heaven. And then she says there's all these different spokes, but they're all ending up in the same place at the end. And the little girl put up her hand, brave to contradict the teacher. She says, please, miss, what you're saying's not right. I was at Sunday school this week, she said. And what, you know what Jesus said? He says, I am the way. Not a whole lot of ways. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus is the way and the only way? Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Lotz Graham, was being interviewed on one occasion about her Christian faith. And the interviewer said to her, said she, are you one of these people that Jesus is exclusively the only way to heaven? She says, you know how mad that makes some people be. Said Billy Graham's daughter in reply, Jesus is not exclusive. He died so that anyone can come to him for salvation and have a home in heaven. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. It's the great word indeed of this very gospel from the Savior himself of John 3:16. It's the whosoever. What a wonderful, again, from one of the little one girls from Sunday school when she was asked what it meant, whosoever. She says it means you, and it means me, and it means anybody else. Oh, the great invitation. I used to sing, and I never was a singer, but we tried to sing in Sunday school at least. C means children all may come. O means old folk, no more young. M means middle-aged mother or dad. E means everybody, good or bad. I am invited. You are invited. All are invited. Believe in Jesus and come. So the invitation goes out to everyone listening, no matter what age, no matter what your circumstances. The Lord Jesus came from the heaven's glory and went all the way to the cross to die for you and I, and to bear this punishment that we should have borne eternally, and to make heaven possible for everyone that will come to him and put their trust in him. What a wonderful message, the message of the gospel. Lydia Baxter, in her lovely hymn, says, Christ is the door to heaven for all who seek through him salvation, the rich, the poor, the old, the young, of every tribe and nation. And so we present to you simply tonight the availability of heaven. But do remember that it won't always be available. Tonight it is available. For the Lord Jesus himself was the speaker when he spoke of himself in Luke 13 as the master of the house that would shut the door. Maybe you've tried at times to book something, to go somewhere or to attend something, and you've got the result, no vacancies, fully booked. Well, there'll come a day when heaven's door will be closed. Sometimes we sing, you know, the house is fast filling. There's yet room to spare, not a seat will be vacant. But will you be there? That's the big question. Oh, I know you intend to be there, but there needs to be a starting point. Don't make a mistake about the way to heaven. It's found in the Lord Jesus. He's the way, because you and I, you see, are lost. That's what the Bible teaches. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53. He is the way. He's the truth, because you and I are deceived. God of this world, Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And he's not only the truth, but he's the life. The Bible says that we, without the Savior, are dead in trespasses and sins. But he has come that they might have life, said the Lord Jesus himself in John 10, that they might have it more abundantly. So we set before you tonight the availability of heaven. If there's anyone here tonight or anyone listening, and deep within your heart, I know you intend to be there, but there's never been clarity in your mind about the way. We lift before you the person of the Lord Jesus. He is the only Savior. He's the only way. In love, he suffered and bled and died to open up the door to heaven, the cross at Calvary. You know, I must finish, but you know the story told about the little lad that was lost in Glasgow. I used to go over quite often to Glasgow when I was in the carpet trade to buy carpets over there, and I often saw the sign as you move through the city for Glasgow Cross, that ancient landmark in the city. And they tell about the policeman finding the little lad, only a toddler, crying in the street. And he asked him what was wrong. And he said he was lost. He couldn't find his way back to the house. The policeman asked him his name. He said his name was Johnny. What's your other name, son? He just more tears kept flowing. Tell me, said the policeman to him, what's the name of the street where you live? Again, he was getting nowhere with the questions. Just the tears were flowing. Said the policeman to him, what's the name of the corner shop where you go for your sweets? Again, he was getting nowhere. Said the policeman again to wee Johnny, he says, can you think of anywhere near your home that you know about and we'll get you sorted out? And through his tears, he looked up at the policeman. He says, if you take me to the cross, take me to the cross, referring to that ancient landmark in Glasgow. He says, take me to the cross and I can find my way home from there. Oh, that we just had help now of the Spirit of God just to point some dear soul to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the starting point for heaven. There's a little chorus, listen to these words. Whether you're young or whether you're old, it's the same way to come. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. If you do that, just come to him in all your sin and need. You know what the Savior said in John 6:37? He says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Heaven's available. Don't make a mistake. Don't make a mistake about the way. On Christmas Day, over in Medford, in Massachusetts, in the United States of America, there was a fire in a large building, and 5 people lost their life in the inferno. The fire chief, who was in charge of handling matters that day and in filing his report afterwards, he said about those 5 fatalities, he said they perished because they went the wrong way. In the smoke-filled building, in the panic, in the confusion, they went down wrong corridors and lost their life. Perished because they went the wrong way. I hope when the eternal records are revealed that anyone that has been listening tonight, boys and girls, older friend, that it will not be said of you, he perished, she perished, because they went the wrong way. Listen as we close in prayer. Jesus said, if you're asking tonight, or just genuine inquiry tonight, just longing to be clear about the way to heaven, how can we know the way, says Thomas? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow again before thee in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee again for the story of the cross. Thank thee, our Father, for a way that has been opened up, whereby we who were at a distance from thee, we who would have been at a distance from thee forever in our sins, can now know the way back to thyself, can be sure of our sins forgiven and a home in heaven at the end of life's journey. So we commit thy word to thee. We just pray that the Spirit of God would impress eternal truths upon hearts, and that even through thy word, that some precious soul, understanding their need, might turn and put their trust in the Lord Jesus. We know that what we're asking is a divine work. Salvation is of the Lord. And so we leave the issues of the meeting in thy hand for blessing as we make our requests and give thee our thanks another time in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening so carefully. We'll sing a couple of verses of a hymn, please, just to conclude the meeting. 409, we're travelling home to heaven above. Will you go? Will you go? We'll sing the first and the last verse, just keeping our seats. Verse 4 says, the way to heaven is straight and plain. Repent, believe, be born again. Verse 5, oh, could I hear some sinner say, I will go. From Christ I can no longer stay, I will go. 1 and 5 of 409 remaining seated while we sing.
We're traveling home to heaven above.